This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Is it Friday yet?
Not yet. Not yet. Every day this week has felt like Friday. Hey, welcome everyone. This is Newsmakers. I'm Brent DeHart. This is Dave Bourne. And we're excited to be with you today. It is so funny how about all of the topics we talk about here, and a lot of times it has to do with Marion and Polk County, specifically Salem and Kaiser, all of us around here, how they intersect. All these topics tend to kind of intersect with one another. And if you're listening to Newsmakers, you have a better idea of what's happening and why and all of the things that affect it.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk in just a little bit. We're going to talk to somebody from the city of Salem, Public Works, to talk about where the traffic's going to be having to do with construction road projects.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if you've heard this one, Dave, but there's a joke about how many seasons there are in Oregon. It's like the first rainy season, there's winter, there's the second rainy season, and this road construction season.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So as soon as the weather turns, you know you're going to be tied up in traffic in some spots. So hopefully we will hear where that will be, at least for the city of Salem, and where their big projects are.
Okay.
So that's coming up. And Public Works, the show is a friend of the Public Works Department. They have been on. They've talked about water and sewer, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we'll look in the Statesman Journal today. Then there's this article about Idana up in the canyon. And that they're replacing their water system, having to do with a community block grant that was awarded to them. So Idana, little bitty tiny community, their water system predates them even being a city.
Wow.
And they were producing like 80,000 gallons a day of water and losing 70,000.
What?
So when we talked to Peter Fernandez of the Public Works Department in the city of Salem, we talked about the infiltration of rainwater into the system, and but also, you know, old pipes so that groundwater can get in or out.
Right.
And so they're making 80,000 gallons a day to provide 10,000. So it was a well-known problem. Finally, Idana doesn't have the tax base to do the
work. No, they don't.
So they received $1.7 million in an Oregon Community Development Block Grant. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What does that intersect with? It intersects with population and the census we had on last week, right? Counting how many people live where. And these community block grants, you know, they're part of funds that that get received, you know, based on a greater taxing authority and so
forth. Well, we talked about it just not too long ago, you know, in voting.
Yeah.
Every vote counts, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And that means census. You're counted.
All right. Yes. So anyway, that's a good thing. Well, way to go. Like to see the Public Works project up there. They had water lines that were made of wood. They had water mains that were made of wood.
No wonder they were losing so much water.
Yeah. So they're digging up. They're going to do the whole distribution and the infiltration system for Idana. So... thank you, government, for doing something you should do with our tax money, and that's send it towards infrastructure so people can have healthful drinking water and not be wasteful and not producing 80,000 gallons or 70,000 gallons that you do not need. All right. Something else I want to talk about real quickly before maybe we'll get back to this as well after we talk Public Works, but public safety. You know, I'm big on public safety, and there's an article in the Salem Reporter about some Measure 11 reform bills.
Mm-hmm.
So crime reform bills and so forth. And some of them have bipartisan support. I have to weigh in here. There's things, there's perspectives that people should understand. So the reform, by mind you, this was passed back in 1994, overwhelmingly by voters. I believe Kevin Mannix had a lot to do with this, right? And imposes mandatory minimum prison sentences for violent crimes. Not everybody loves that. Not everybody loves taking the discretion out of the hands of the judge, but violent crimes did go down.
That's true.
Recidivism goes down, heck, if they don't get out of jail.
So, that's a true fact.
Yeah, if they do not get out of prison for a violent crime, right?
Yes.
So it has to do with juveniles being automatically, who are 15 and over, automatically tried as adults under some violent crimes. And they want to overturn that and put that into the hands of the discretion of the judge.
Again?
And also, there's a couple other things. It's going to allow the judge to decide whether he's going to be tried as a juvenile or as an adult. They'd get a second look hearing halfway through their sentences. Halfway through the sentences, they get another look to see how much they've been reformed, right? And juveniles could not be sentenced to life without parole. If that's the sentence that set me off.
Okay? Wow.
All right, so let me tell you a story. In Salem, the year is 1993. There's a charming old gentleman lives across the street from Brent DeHart and his wife. He's in his 80s, probably late 80s. Got a club foot due to diabetes. Legally blind, I think. You'd meet him at the mailbox, and he would tell you every day how much he loved his wife. It was pretty incredible. He'd tell you his wife's life story at the mailbox. It was pretty darn charming. I'm like, I want to be that 80s guy that just, you know, I'm going to tell you how much I love my wife. You know, really nice, harmless, and helpless.
Right.
This gentleman was beaten to death in his home with a club in his bed while he watched his wife be murdered.
Oh, my God.
By two juveniles who received life without parole. Okay? So there's an argument that, hey, their brains aren't fully developed at 15. We all know that, right? I know mine wasn't. So, and that keeps people from making good decisions kind of thing. Well, that's just not a good decision. That's not a good decision or a bad decision. That is a human being that needs to be separated from society.
Yes, I agree with that.
They beat those people to death in their beds because they wanted to steal their car. And the old gentleman in his 80s, in trying to protect his wife, wouldn't give him the car keys. And they laughed as they did it.
Oh, my God.
And we know this because when, you know, this was my neighbor, right? This is a real person to me. This is our neighbor. And we also knew people that those two youth, their names were Lysel and Lydell White. I'll never ever forget them. I'll never ever forget the, you know, a few years later have a piece in the Statesman Journal of like, oh, these poor youths. I'm like, what are you talking about? But we know what happened because we know somebody that they talked to and described what they did. Right?
That's crazy.
So as they joyously beat a helpless man in his 80s to death who devoted his whole life to his wife, who was really devoted to her. Incomprehensible, and I don't ever want them out of prison, and I don't want it in the hands of a judge to decide. I don't want it in the hands of a legislator to decide that they could not be sentenced to life without parole.
Indeed.
I got a problem with that.
Yeah.
There's more in the bill. There's more of these public safety reform things. Let's get back to this after we talk to Public Works, because we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk to Mark Bechtel at the City of Salem. We'll get his title. I think he's transportation manager, amongst other things. So stick with us. Hey, you're listening to Newsmakers, and we're talking important stuff on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we're going to talk about traffic jams. Actually, we're going to talk about road project improvements coming
construction,
up.
Construction, right?
In the city of Salem. Joining us on the phone today is Mark Bechtel. Mark, you with us?
I am. Good afternoon, Brent.
Thanks for joining us. Now, you have been with the city for a day or two, right?
I'm going to have been at the city for 25 years here in August.
Holy cow.
Nice job.
All right, so you've had one or two jobs since you've been there, but what's your title now?
I'm the Public Works Operations Manager, so I'm responsible for day-to-day operations of your water, sewer, stormwater, streets and parks.
Whoa, say that again? What?
Water, sewer, stormwater, streets and parks.
Oh, okay. So in other words,
the day-to-day operations.
Yeah. Oh, wow. The operations guy. You're the one that makes sure everything runs, and if it doesn't run, they call Mark.
That's right.
That's what they do. Yeah.
The last time I saw Mark Bechtel, I don't know how many hours he was working, but it was a lot. And it sounds like he still is. And I think that's just when you were doing transportation and parks. But now they just throw the water and the storm water on you as well.
Right.
Anyway.
And the sewer.
Great job. Thank you for joining us. What the Newsmaker audience wants to know is, hey, where are you going to be working in the streets in Salem this summer?
Well, that question's coming a little bit of as a surprise because I was told I was going to talk about the water for this summer.
So
we will be working in a number of places in the street system. We have a full season of maintenance paving planned out, and we have some crack sealing on Salem streets and some slurry seals in some neighborhoods. So we have a pretty full season of projects. What I'm not prepared to talk about is exactly which streets, because I don't have that list in front of me. But
that's okay.
I can talk to you about the water situation.
Okay, before we go to the water, because you had major, we've had major in the last 10 years, improvements in huge intersections in West Salem, in Northeast Salem, and South Salem, even downtown, like Market in Lancaster and Wallace Road. Are there any of those that are going to tie up major arterials?
Not really. We do have some work planned on Madrona Avenue, down between 12th Street and Commercial. So you'll see some work there. But our big source of money for those big projects is kind of been spent out. You know, the 2008 Streets and Bridges Bond measure gave us literally 10 years of funding for a lot of great street projects, mm-hmm. but that money is pretty much all gone now. So what we're doing now is more maintenance level work, and it's all over the place. We don't do large paving projects. Contractors do that work, but we do a lot of spot repairs and a lot of small paving projects.
Okay, so quickly, maybe off the top of your head, how many projects this summer are you working on?
Oh, probably 3 or 4 dozen different locations that we'll be out doing local street paving, a lot of neighborhood paving, and we'll be coming in. You'll see in various places, you'll see us out there with our grinding machine and then putting down a new inlay of asphalt. So our job is to take out all those pothole farms that develop over the wintertime and to try to get them back to a fairly good shape.
Pothole farms.
You gotta love that.
That's great.
Nothing
we
better.
We had a very good crop last year. we had a good wet winter and a little bit of just a touch of snow and ice, but enough to create a good crop of potholes.
Nothing better than fresh pavement, let me tell you.
So you're also, yeah, true. Are you also going, it sounds like you're also going to tear up some sidewalks or roads to do some water sewer improvements? Should be watching for those.
We are. We have probably 2 or 3 dozen significant water and sewer replacement projects in the works. We have a very old utility, and a lot of those pipes date back to the 1890s, early 1900s, and we do need to replace them and upsize them. And you will see City of Salem crews and contractors out there doing that kind of work this summer.
Wow. All right. It's going to be the same question. Any major thoroughfares that we need to reroute? I mean, I'm asking this, Mark, and we're talking to Mark Bechtel, the City of Salem. He's the one that makes everything work in public works.
Operations manager. Yeah.
Peter Fernandez doesn't do anything.
No. He just delegates.
But Mark, he's the linchpin.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So the reason I asked this, Mark, is for a few years there, my routes to work kept getting intersecting with the big projects that your department was doing. You know, it was Skyline Road or it was Kubler Intersection or something. It's like each year I'm going to have to pick a different route to work. So anything you want to give us a heads up on that we might want to be aware of if you're digging in a big main?
The biggest project I'd give you a heads up on is actually an Oregon Department of Transportation project, and that is the repaving of I-5 through Salem this summer.
It's going on now, right?
They've just begun the kind of the preliminary work and work on the ramps and bridges. But through a good part of the summer, from Woodburn all the way down to Salem and through Salem, ODOT will be repaving Interstate 5.
Wow.
During the nighttime, some of that traffic will be detoured right through Salem, through the middle of Salem. So That'll be something to keep your eye on if you're a motorist here in Salem.
Great. Maybe we could put some more traffic on Lancaster Drive instead.
But like I said, we don't have a lot of the really big paving projects because we don't have the kind of money that we did when we had the bond money.
Okay. But water, sewer, main, upgrades, and things like that. I know that requires a lot of digging and deep digging and some time. So anything, what should we be watching out for there?
Those projects tend to go fairly quickly, but those types of projects, you know, we're going to have to take a lane or two to get in and get those pipes replaced. Always make sure you continue to patronize all the businesses in those areas, and we always try to make sure there's a way to get in and out of everyone's business and nobody's left stranded. But patience when you go through those work zones, just be patient and slow down and give our folks a wide berth and some safety.
Hey, Mark, what's the website that the people can go to get the information on the updates?
Sure, you bet. Since we have a lot of little projects, the best thing to do is go to the City of Salem website, which is cityofsalem.net, and go to the tab that says Government Services and pull down, look at Public Works, and you should be able to see lists of projects that people can then know what's going on in their neighborhood and what they might need to look out for.
The first indicator will be the cones and signs coming up saying there's work coming.
Exactly, there's work coming, and look for the little markings on the pavement when see the little white lines and all the utility markings. You'll know something's getting ready to happen.
Mark, I want to thank you for mentioning the businesses. Actually, long ago, before I knew what I know now, I had a street closure at my business, which was traffic dependent, and we lost like a third of our business because of a project.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know how to navigate that in terms of communicating both to the customer and to the city and to city council and what have you. So, folks, those businesses, they're going to get hurt by traffic projects, and if you can keep patronizing them and just find, make your safely way through the cones and the signs, make sure that the local businesses that are open, you still feel free to go help. So, you know what, Mark? Thank you for mentioning that. That really is important to Salem.
And one more project just came to mind.
Oh, boy.
The railroad in town here, the Burlington Northern, the Portland and Western that uses the Burlington Northern line, every summer now they are replacing another segment of track on Front Street, the old section of Front Street there in North Salem. And they will be doing that again this summer for the third summer. And that can create some traffic issues because a lot of people like to use that Front Street as a kind of a quick way around Commercial and Liberty. So that railroad project will be towards the end of the summer. And again, make sure you go use those businesses on Front Street, but just be aware that that'll make that street pretty busy.
How many more summers do they have before they're done with that section?
They have told us they're willing to do about 500 feet of track a summer, and so I would say there's a good 7 summers left to go.
Oh boy!
My gosh!
They can't do more than 500 feet.
We're grateful that they're doing 500 feet a year. We really are.
Oh.
That street, the railroad base, the rail base is sinking a little bit each year, and every time they rebuild it, it just makes that line a little safer, a little better, a little stronger.
Wow. Well, that's important because I've been known to use that road. I've been known to use the road to stay off off a commercial and the lights and the backups, the people that can't get over the bridge and what have you. And there's some good businesses along there as well.
Sure.
All right. So that's going to happen later in the summer.
Correct. And we partner with the railroad. They rebuild the rail line, and then we come back and do the paving. And that partnership seems to work pretty well.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
And this is the rail line that comes down front and ends up going right by the park, right?
Correct. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I know that one. I got stopped by that one on that road.
It is one of those rare places where you can drive right alongside a train that's moving till you get to the point where it turns towards Liberty and Commercial. Then you got to stop.
Yes. That's where I got stopped.
Any downtown projects? Any downtown projects in a downtown grid that we should be aware of? Anybody changing State Street from one way to two way? Or
I'm not aware of any of the big projects changing street directions this year. That's not part of the day-to-day operations thing, so I don't want to say that there's not something happening downtown. But you know, the police station construction is our big project downtown, and there will be some changes to Division Street and Union Street because of that project. So certainly you'll see some construction around that new police station site.
Hey, Mark. Are we interfering with your lunch, or can you stay with us for another 10 minutes or so?
I can stay on as long as you want.
I would love to hear a little bit more about the water, the upgrades that we've heard a little bit about, and what's coming up at the Bloom, and parks, actually, if there's park construction, either improvements or new construction. Can we throw some questions at you about that?
Sure, you bet.
All right. Hey, let's take a quick break. We're talking to Mark Bechtel. We've got him on the radio. He's from the city of Salem. He's been there 24 years, and eventually he's going to come home for dinner. But he has been there working for a long time. So stick with us. There's more to learn on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. Thanks for joining us. We're talking to Mark Bechtel from the City of Salem. He was the operations manager for all things public works. And we talked before the break about some of the projects that are happening. And there's so many projects. I think like, a few dozen. A few dozen water.
I think you said three.
A few
three
dozen.
Dozen.
Transportation,
right?
Paving.
That's
projects, but no major intersection overhauls like we've seen, you know, for a lot of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, you back? You with us?
I am. I'm right here.
Okay. So let's talk about water a little bit. We were talking about, you mentioned, and oddly, at the top of the hour, we talked about Idana getting the grant to replace, and then some water mains were literally made of wood, and that dates back to prior to 1930 kind of thing. But you're saying some of our infrastructure dates back into the 1890s?
We do. We have cast iron water mains that date back to 1895, 1898, and they're largely in your downtown area, the central area of Salem, and most of them are still working just fine.
No, cast iron is going to last forever.
Wow.
I was surprised you're upgrading them.
But
well, actually, we try not to. Only if they're showing some cracks or leaks or weaknesses.
Recently, near my house, there was storm water. But it's made of, you know, concrete or clay or something breakable.
Oh,
you know?
Boy.
And so that's getting all these cracks and opening up with tree roots and things like that. You must be doing things like that.
We are. We have a full range of maintenance replacements. And like I said, we have some older sewer pipes. We have some older stormwater pipes. You know, eventually they do break. Tree roots love sewer pipes. They love stormwater pipes. And they get in there and they can cause quite a bit of damage.
Life will find a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they want the water.
When
the
they're seeking the water.
All right, so what about our drinking water? Salem has historically had incredible drinking water, great quality, not very laden with minerals and so forth. And then we had the incident last summer, but you've taken steps to prevent that, correct?
We have. We really were challenged last summer. And with having the first time ever having any kind of a toxin or contaminant get through our filters and into the water distribution system. So we have been working literally around the clock to make sure that that doesn't happen. And if it were to happen, we would be so much better prepared. But we have worked very hard to fortify our filtering systems and to plan eventually for the construction of an ozone treatment plant here at Guerin Island. Ozone is the best form of disinfecting water, and for, you know, about $40 to $50 million, we can build an ozone plant. But in the meantime, until it's online, we're taking some steps to make sure that we for every reason possible that we don't have another repeat of last year.
And so when you say treatment with the ozone, because it's the cytotoxins, it's not the algae themselves, it's the byproduct of the toxins, and then what filters that out, or can we?
Yeah, the and you're right, the cyanobacteria or the algae, when they die, their last revenge on humans is to create a toxin, a cyanotoxin. And you know, the best way to deal with that is to oxidize it or to essentially blow it apart in a chemical way. And we can do that with chlorine, and we can do that with ozone. And since we don't have an ozone plant yet, chlorine is our best weapon. Also, like you said, nature finds a way. And the filters that we use at Garen Island that we've used for the last 80 years are slow sand filters.
Mm-hmm.
And those filters have a layer of what we call biomass that has a German name. It's called Schmutzdeck. And those are really good friendly bacteria that love to eat bad bacteria.
Mm.
And over the course of the summer last year, our good bacteria learned to eat the bad cyanotoxin bacteria. And that helped us.
Way to go, Schmutz. The Schmutz came to the rescue.
The Schmutzdeck came to the rescue. So our first line of defense this year is to make sure that Schmutzdeck, those good healthy bacteria, are eating at the buffet table, and they're buff and ripped and ready to go. And we're doing that. We've added a little bit of acetic acid to those filters, and they're doing a good job. The second line of defense is we can give a stronger dose of chlorine. And what we didn't have last year was the ability to reduce that chlorine back down again so that you don't notice the difference when you're getting the water. So this year we have the ability to raise the chlorine, kind of zap any toxins that are in the water, and then bring that chlorine back down so that you don't notice the difference.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And we built that all, you know, within the last several months. And then we have the powdered activated carbon system, which we brought online at the very end of the advisory we had last year. And that is carbon molecules that bind to the toxin and make them settle out before they even get to the filters. So we have a kind of a belt and suspenders approach to filtering the water this year. If by some chance we're just overwhelmed with toxin and we can't get it all out, and we were to have to go into an advisory, we have purchased all the necessary equipment so that we could have 8 water distribution sites, kind of like we did last year, but have them up and running within about 2 hours of issuing an advisory. So we are much better prepared this year than we were last year.
We're talking to Mark Bechtel of Public Works, the City of Salem. And Mark, I got to tell you, your department rocks.
Yeah, right?
Your department. And I like the way you put things, too. It's a belt and suspenders. I like it. You know, we as, and we're going to talk about parks here in just a second, but we as citizens sometimes get so impatient with our government not being able to handle something unforeseen immediately, you know. I remember, be it a hurricane and a levee break, say, in Louisiana, you expect people to respond to something that's never happened before in history with perfection. And sometimes we expect a little too much out of the government. It's just like, okay, is that George Bush's fault? Is it FEMA's fault? Whatever. But, you know, then the same thing happened to us last summer. So it caught off guard. But look, you listen to Mark, you're like, you did what? You did the carbon, and you did this, and you did this chemistry. It makes you want to go back and not study broadcasting, right, Dave? And go
right.
Study science and engineering, because they're doing amazing things. All right. Sorry. Little editorial there, Mark. Just want to thank you there. What about parks? There has been extraordinary changes and improvements in what Minto Brown Park, of course. Now we've got 2 bridges to the downtown parks, and of course there's neighborhood parks. What's under construction, and what's slated for improvements?
Our biggest project this year is going to be the reconstruction of the Orchard Heights Park tennis courts.
Hmm.
The tennis courts up there were deteriorating to the point where they just weren't very playable.
Was it the pickleball players? The pickleball players wore them out, didn't they?
Well, we're fine with either. Whether you're a regular tennis player or pickleball, we love to see both. I know the lines can get a little confusing, but you know, we're just glad to see them being used and being used heavily. So, we want to rebuild those tennis courts, and that's going to be quite a project to do that. We have some drainage issues there in the park we need to solve. You probably already noticed up in that park that we've redone both of the softball fields. So we're doing a considerable amount of work just to get Orchard Heights Park, you know, up and running again. We have a little bit of an issue right now with Riverfront Park. We have a collapsed sewer line in the park, and we need to get it replaced before all the festivals start.
Oh, my.
And so we're racing to do that.
It collapsed.
Yeah, it's one of those. We talked about how old the pipes are in Salem. That's one of them. And so we have to replace that sewer line and do it in a hurry.
And what's the new technology? What do you make that replacement pipe out of?
PVC, you know, the big industrial strength PVC, the bluish green pipes that you see, those are the ones that we would be using.
The ones the trees can't get through now.
At least they have to work a lot harder to do that.
All right, so you got to tear up some of Riverfront Park before the festivals. And, you know, there's a lot of activity each summer on that park. That gets a lot of traffic.
Yeah, and we had a flood here in April.
Did we?
And we did. We had a flood along the river, and it did about $100,000 worth of damage to Wallace Marine Park. And we are also racing to get those repairs made because this is softball tournament season, and we need to make sure those fields are up and running. That the softball program literally brings in $1 to $3 million a year in revenue to businesses in the city, and we want to make sure that that complex is up and running. So we're very busy right now getting those two facilities repaired and getting ready to take on the tennis courts.
So all of these things we've talked about, the road improvements, the parks improvements, water, sewer, can you give the listener a little idea of what pots of money is paying for all of that?
Sure. Your street improvements and your repairs and maintenance of your street system come from the gas taxes that you pay when you fill your gas tank at the gas pump. The city of Salem gets a share of those gas tax funds, and that's what we use to fund those repairs. The repairs for your water and sewer facilities, they come from your water sewer bill that you pay, you know, every month. And those monies are dedicated to that utility fund. And then your parks, maintenance and operations, that money competes with all the other general fund programs of the city. With, you know, the money we get is a share of the same money that goes to fire and police and library and planning and all that. When we have a special project, though, that money tends to come from the transient occupancy tax. That's your hotel motel taxes. Mm-hmm. That you pay when you spend a night here in Salem. So we have a full array of funding sources, none of them very big, but an array of them that we can use to try to make these improvements.
Thank you for explaining that, because nobody likes their water sewer bill. I know I don't like it. I don't like how big it is, right? And people are like, well, I don't even water my yard and I don't use that much water. But hopefully listening to Mark Bechtel today, you understand that that's just not going for the water that's coming through your kitchen faucet. That is repairing all of these things. It's paying for the filtration system. It's paying for all of these system-wide things when you're paying, you know, $60 or whatever for using 50 gallons.
Right.
Right?
Maintenance.
So,
right.
Yeah, it pays for the whole thing. So hopefully as a rate payer, everybody understands and feels a little bit better about their monthly bill.
I know I do.
So, you know, I don't want to sound too much like a public works, you know, homie and just plugging for you. But
we appreciate your support, though.
Well, it is the first role of government, infrastructure and public safety.
And
so,
he's doing it.
Yeah, and you're the man. You know, don't let anybody, you know, in the whole building tell you otherwise. Just Mark Bechtel, he's the man, makes it happen.
Well, I love my job. It's a privilege to serve. It's a privilege to serve the citizens of Salem, and I plan on doing it for several more years.
Well, thanks for being with us. We'll have you guys back on as things develop this summer. Always happy to hear from Public Works and Peter Fernandez. I'm just teasing. I was going to tell you, and make sure to make it out to the volcanoes this summer.
Yeah.
I know I've seen you out there, and you're a baseball guy, so we'll look forward to seeing you out there now that they're going to be broadcast on KYKN.
Sure will.
All right. That was Mark Bucktell. Thank you, Mark. Have a great day. And you're listening to Newsmakers. We're going to come right back and finish our conversation about the crime bills going through the legislature and the softening of Measure 11. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we thank the Public Works, the City of Salem. It's always nice to know where your taxpayer dollars are being spent and how and why, right?
They have a good name for their company, for what they do, Public Works.
Yep, we work
it actually works.
Good things. All right, we're going to talk about the legislature a little bit the rest of the hour, some changes in the death penalty being proposed, changes in marijuana convictions being proposed, and what we
how
talked about.
How do you change the death penalty?
You don't do it?
Well, they haven't done it for many years. It's the death penalty. It should happen.
Well, Senate Bill, what is that? 1013.
Crime would drop.
1013I, it looks like. It would limit the definition of aggravated murder. So it's changing some of the definitions that might qualify for the death penalty and so forth.
Uh-huh.
It also would disallow the consideration of the phrase future dangerousness as a factor and whether or not they should impose the death penalty. So, let's start with let's go back to Measure 11. We're talking about it at the top of the hour and softening it, and having to do with juveniles being sentenced automatically,
mm-hmm.
Being tried as adults automatically if they're 15 and they commit a violent crime, and also what their sentence would be under Measure 11. So it does have some bipartisan support, Republicans and Democrats. It's got some district attorneys supporting it, although the District Attorney Association is not. I always get a red flag if it's something that the ACLU wants, because I'm not a big fan of the ACLU. But they want to fix what they view as this injustice in our criminal justice system. They claim 88% of Oregonians support this kind of reform. So I'm just cautious. I'm not saying this is the worst thing the legislature has ever looked at, but I'd be pretty cautious and pretty reticent to roll back things that the voters voted for wholeheartedly. Maybe it was 25 years ago, but it should go back to the voters.
And it should.
That was, even though this has some bipartisan support, there's Republicans that's saying, okay, well, we'll support it, but you got to refer it to the voters. So amendments were offered. And to send it back to the voters, and both got turned down.
What?
Yeah.
So.
It's, by the way, Representative Mike McClain. He's a Republican. He's from Powell Butte. And he tried to put in some amendments to water down some of his reforms. And those got turned down. So it meant.
If the voters voted on it the first time and they want to change something with it, it should automatically go back to the voters.
Yeah.
A lot of major things that they try and ram down our throats should go to the voters.
Like, for instance,
A billion dollar tax.
A business activity tax, an economic activity tax.
That cap and trade thing should also go to the people because it's a tax.
30 retired judges have supported it. Oregon Youth Authority support this changes. Some district attorneys, but the Oregon District Attorneys Association is the biggest opponent of this change of policy. All right. You've got to be aware. So if tough on crime is your issue, another thing to contact your legislator about, or all the legislators for that matter. The death penalty changes. And here's the thing about the death penalty. And we don't do a lot of social issues.
We should, though.
We don't have a lot of social issues here on Newsmakers, but this is criminal justice.
Yeah, right.
Right? So here's this is a Brent thing. I can't speak for KYKN or Dave or anything, but I don't like the death penalty because I don't like how much it costs me as a taxpayer. Right? I believe there are certain people that deserve to die. I believe that some crimes are so heinous that our species should purge society of them.
Yes.
Sorry, it sounds harsh. It makes me...
That's what the death penalty is, harsh.
Okay? It is harsh.
Yeah.
However, in America, it's not a deterrent.
No.
Because we don't exercise it.
Yes.
I mean, in Singapore, it's a deterrent.
Yeah.
Right? In Saudi Arabia, it might be a deterrent. In America, when you're sitting in prison for decades and getting mandated appeal after mandated appeal, it's not a deterrent. They don't believe they're going to be put to death.
That's why it costs you so much.
I told the story once before. It's worth telling my dad again. My father traveled to Saudi Arabia in the 70s. He came home, told me a story. He's reading the newspaper there, and so-and-so was caught doing this. So-and-so was caught doing that in the news in Saudi Arabia. Next sentence. The hangings are on Friday.
Wow.
Well, that's a crime deterrent. I'm not saying model it, but it's like, that's not how we do it in America.
No, but a guy in Texas is being put to death tonight, though. He was a serial killer, killed 10 women.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and there's in this article, and in Salem Reporter, somebody does make the economic argument, except I don't think they go far enough. They're saying that the average death penalty case is $1.4 million, while non-death penalty cases cost an average of $335,000. I think that's just to get the conviction, right? That's like more than three times as expensive to try this death penalty case. That doesn't take into effect and into account mandatory appeals.
How many appeals do they get going on and on?
I don't know, but it happens. And there's a very good fiscal conservative argument. It was like, forget with a lawyer. It's like the Lawyer Employment Act. I just don't want to keep paying the lawyers for all these appeals because it's the death penalty and it's triggered, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been made to believe that it's just cheaper. Life in prison without parole is cheaper than the death penalty as a taxpayer.
That's not a deterrent then.
Well, it's not a deterrent now.
Right, because they don't exercise it.
Right.
So I think if they get three appeals, that's reasonable. If they get seven, then that's a problem for me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And who pays? Of course, we're all paying for the attorneys that represent them.
Yeah,
last one, we only got a minute. Marijuana conviction changes. So there's a Senate Bill 420, which is too funny for words.
Right.
420, they want to... let people out, vacate the convictions for marijuana-related offenses now that marijuana is legal in Oregon.
Now, right? That kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, they claim, for those of you who are not in the know, 420 is kind of a buzz number for marijuana use or time to take it. So 420 is really associated with. Anyway, that would overchange that. They say it's an accident. It's just a coincidence that Bill 420 has to do with marijuana.
Yeah.
So they're talking about that. And if they're convicted on something that's now legal, let them go. All right, we're going to have to go. But tomorrow will be Friday.
And will be.
We're going to go.
Thank
tomorrow
God.
Will be Friday. There'll be more. I've got a segment I want to do that Brent saves the world. Stick with us. We'll talk about it then on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.